I want to talk to you this morning around the subject, be filled with the Spirit. This is a weekend we've kind of designated. We've been praying about this overflow weekend. And wow, yesterday morning here, it was incredible how the Spirit of God blessed us and touched our hearts. And then we arrived back this morning, and once again, the Lord's presence is so sweet and so thick. And my heart's just saying, more, Lord. You know, we should always be content with who He is, but hungering more for more of what He has for us and a deeper understanding of who He is. This past January the 8th, just a little over a month ago, a great warrior in the faith went home to be with Jesus. His name was Pastor Jack Hayford, Dr. Jack Hayford. He was pastor at the Church of the Way in Van Nuys, California. He's well known as a pastor, a scholar in his own right, started King's University out of the church there, and it's still thriving. He's a writer of a number of books. I mentioned the Praying in the Spirit earlier. He wrote a book called The Beauty of Spiritual Language. One of the precious privileges we have as the saints. Great book. You might want to read it sometime. He also authored some well-known songs. Majesty, worship His Majesty. He wrote that song and many others that are still sung around the world. He's a great man of faith. But in his early days, when he was just getting his legs under him and he was pastoring the church there, it was a small church, he had labored hard, prayed hard, but the congregation, he said, I'm quoting him, was just lethargic. And he was discouraged. They had plateaued at about 100 people. And yet his heart burned and told him that God wanted so much more for the congregation there. And so much more was to be done by the congregation there in Van Nuys and around the world. So one Saturday morning during that time, he made his way to the church alone, bearing his burden with a desire in his heart to see the Lord move among the people whom he pastored. When he walked into the sanctuary on that particular Saturday morning, he said that the room was filled with a silvery mist just everywhere in the room. I quote, he said, no earthly dust had the glowing quality that this mist possessed as it filled the whole room. What had happened was the glory of God had manifested openly in that space between the walls of that sanctuary where those people met and prayed, met and sang, met and worshiped. Well, the proof's in the pudding. After that Saturday, immediately the church began to grow. Inexplicably, and continued to grow. And when I read the book I read this story out of, this testimony, said at that time the church had surpassed 10,000 members. You see, what people need is not more self-help. Although I thank God for those principles and those truths. If something's true, it's rooted in the truth, right? So thank God for any way that people are helped in that way. But without the Spirit of God moving on a person's heart, they may live a, quote, good life, a, quote, clean moral life. They may have a certain degree of happiness, but they'll never know the fullness of what they were created to experience. And in addition, will not arrive where they could arrive if they had worshiped the God who created them. Folks, we need the fullness of God in our lives. We need to be full of the Spirit of God. The book of Ephesians is a theological gemstone. It's amazing what's packed into that letter that the Apostle Paul penned from prison and sent to his friends and loved ones back in Ephesus. He shares so much. But when we get to chapter 5, he talks about how they had been called out of the darkness into the light. How they had been changed. How their life was to be different. He challenges them. He charges them. And when we get to chapter 5, verse 17, he says, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." I would assume that what he's about to say is the will of the Lord. Understand what the will of the Lord is, verse 18. "And to not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." It's a command in the original language. It's a present tense in which it means it's to be an ongoing, repeated, regular practice to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He continues, I believe verse 19 connects with what's just been said as well. One way that you can experience being filled with the Spirit is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. To the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another in the fear of God. And it's amazing the revivals and the moves that we're reading about now, and some of you have traveled to and experienced, how that these qualities describe what's happening. Singing in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord in your hearts, and submitting to one another in the fear of God. There's a sense, I believe, that we've stepped too far away from that healthy, reverential fear and awe of God. We need Him. More than we need our next breath, we need God. More than a thirsty man needs water, we need God. More than a hungry man needs bread, we need God. I want to take just a moment, because we always want to root what we're sharing in God's Word. It's God's Word implanted into our hearts that helps us grow spiritually. That's how we build our faith. You want to be stronger in faith? Then get the Word in you. Read the Word. Meditate on the Word. Pray on the Word. God watches over that Word to bring it to pass. That Word contains within itself the power to perform the promise that it makes to you. That's how you get that promise fulfilled in your life. You let that seed of the Word get down in you. You believe it. You cultivate it. Meditate on it. Pray it. Stand on it. That seed takes root. And then you begin to speak and live out your life, the content of that Word that you've hidden in your heart. And that builds your faith and brings to you the promise of God. So we want to root this idea of being filled with the Spirit. I want you to leave here today knowing this is not just some obscure passage or one singular event in Scripture that people kind of interpret in different ways, and you can take it if you want it, or you can leave it if you don't want it. No, I want you to see. I want you to know. I want you to get it deep down in you this morning that God's Word repeatedly tells us to be filled with the Spirit. That the practice of the early church was surrounded by the Holy Spirit being poured out, the Holy Spirit moving, people being energized, enabled, empowered by God's own Spirit who indwells believers. That He enables and empowers us to be baptized, to be immersed, to be full, to have that overflow of the Spirit of God in our life is what will change this world, because the Spirit doesn't speak of Himself, but He testifies to Jesus. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to Me. Let me run through a few with you. I love Luke 24, 49. This is kind of the Great Commission in Luke's words. Jesus He gathered them together. He said, and you tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That word endued means to be clothed with power. It's like taking off, putting on a jacket, and you're now covered. You're clothed with that jacket. He said, I will clothe you, endue you with power from on high. It's going to find its point of origin out of the throne room. Because when Jesus ascended to the Father, then our redemption was secured, and then the Holy Spirit was given out as a gift of the Father. Acts 1:8, Luke again reminds us, Jesus, right before he was jettisoned up into glory at the ascension, he said, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me. And he tells from there throughout the world. Acts 2 verse 4, the day of Pentecost, they had met together and they were praying, and the wind came into the place, tongues of fire suspended over their heads, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. Acts 4:31, same group of people, add some. The church is being persecuted. Some of the apostles have been arrested. They call a prayer meeting after the apostles have been released and commanded to preach no more in the name of Jesus. And they prayed, and where they prayed, the place was shaken. And it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled in Acts 2. They were filled again in Acts 4. And it says, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts 8, verse 17, Philip has now gone up into Samaria. He's preaching, and miracles are happening right and left. The apostles, Peter and John, come up, and it says they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Later in Acts 8, a couple of verses, there was a sorcerer who came to know Jesus. His name was Simon. He saw them laying hands on people, and something was happening as they laid hands on those people, because he was used to using his spiritual power for personal gain. That's where we get the word simony from. But he said, how can I get this? How much will you charge me, basically, that I can lay hands on them and they receive this Holy Spirit? He said, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. He was witnessing something happening. As Peter and John laid hands on those disciples, he said, I want to be able to do that. Now, there's a holy place to desire to walk in the fullness of God and see God move. And I'm giving him a little grace, because I believe he did know Jesus, and he gets strongly and sternly rebuked by Peter for doing this. Peter corrects him. He's not going to let him take off with a wrong belief. He corrects him, and he says, please pray for me. So I believe he humbled himself and repented. And then we see in Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. Ananias, he's now been stricken blind for 3 days from the light of being in Jesus' presence. God sends Ananias to him, and the Lord told Ananias that he would lay hands on Saul that he may receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 10, Cornelius, a Gentile. Peter goes to his house. He's preaching. And while he's preaching, it says in verse 44, while still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. The next verse, it says, the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they had heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. I'm seeing a pattern develop here, folks. Look at Acts chapter 13, 52. This is on Paul's first missionary journey. He had gone to all the churches. Then they get ran out of town and persecuted. Well, you know what? It says that they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, there were 12 disciples of John the Baptist. Paul said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. And isn't that interesting? Because John the Baptist was the one that said, hey, there's one coming after me. I'm baptizing you with water, but when he gets here, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You see, that was a mile marker for the Messiah by the last prophet of the Old Testament era. One thing that would mark his ministry is that people would be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. And it did after Jesus ascended. Then here came the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues, and tongues of fire were on their heads. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. There's some other meaning to that as well, but that's not for today. And notice notice that in this last one about these disciples of John the Baptizer, that this Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Tongues and prophesied. So there are a lot of theological camps around the idea of what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. Let me tell you, let's go real deep. Good stuff happens. And if you read the scripture, you come to understand that when people get empowered with the Holy Spirit, you'll see the gifts begin to flow. The gifts of the Spirit begin to flow. I believe that you're positioned to be able to communicate in a spiritual language. You know, when it says Ananias was to lay hands on Paul, he'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we assume that he was, right? And when you read the letters he wrote, he told the Corinthians, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, he gave some instruction, because when people get baptized with the Spirit and start speaking in tongues, he said there's certain ways that ought to be carried out. And we try to... I think, you know, we try to do that biblically, so with understanding. That's the goal, that when the Holy Spirit's doing something that people don't understand, then it needs to be shared how to understand it. That's like we've had a number of words lately where someone may have a tongue and then an interpretation would follow. The Bible says that that kind of tongue that comes forth to communicate a message, when it's interpreted, that equals prophecy. It's the same kind of thing. It's the Holy Spirit communicating a message to us. So we believe in this here. We believe this is all these scriptures, and there's others that we could share. But I wanted you to see that it's very, very clear in the scripture that the filling of the Holy Spirit. Well, I've gone way back here. Put it back on my be filled with the Spirit thing. That it's biblical. And dear friends, there is nowhere in the scripture where we are told, don't do that anymore. You have to do some fancy footwork to come up with that conclusion. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm just saying I don't find it anywhere. I'm told that they'll cease one day. And in the same book that we're told that tongues will cease, It says earlier in chapter 1, he told the Corinthians, you come behind in no gift as you await the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul clearly understood that the church was to function in the gifts until Jesus came back. That's when tongues will cease. Won't need them anymore. We'll know as we're known. That's the reason faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. We won't need faith anymore. When we were Jesus, our faith will have become sight. We won't need hope anymore. There's not going to be any more sorrow or sickness or pain or death. All of that will be our reality forever. But love will still be there, because God is love. You see, it makes sense when you put it all together. But to use those scriptures to warn people to back away from the Holy Spirit being poured out and the Holy Spirit moving. Why would we want, Lord help me to know how to say this, why would we want something that's less than what Jesus invites us into? Why would we want everything to be so controlled that we know what's going to happen before it ever happens? The past two Wednesday nights here, we've had some people from this fellowship that have gone to Asbury, and we've heard testimonies, and it's been beautiful. and it's been wonderful. It is amazing, as Brother James mentioned earlier, one of the purest, it's simple, the purity of it, the sweetness, the simplicity of it. And yet, as it carried on, you began to hear what happened there and beyond there as the Holy Spirit began to move and people coming to the Lord and people being saved and people being healed and people being delivered. Those are things that accompanied Jesus' ministry. One of our young men here Wednesday night, Aslan, shared something, and I wrote it down afterwards because I didn't want to forget it. It was so powerful. He made this statement because he was filled with the Holy Spirit on his journey to Asbury. And he stood here Wednesday night, and it reverberated in me when he spoke this. He said, "I never knew how empty I was until I discovered how full I could be." You don't know what you don't know. Now this move among young people, it has touched the campus at Baylor, at Samford, at Lee University, at Cedarville College, Texas A&M. I've read different people that said between 20 and 40 different places. There's just been outbreaks of worship and praise where young people are just, they can't get enough of just worshiping Jesus. Now listen, I think I'm operating right now in a spirit of discernment. That ain't the devil. Now, I acknowledge where God's moving. The enemy's gonna show up. And a lot of times he shows up and gets cast out. And somebody gets to go home free. Sometimes he may show up and show out a little bit. But you know what? It's just because he's just wanting a little attention because Jesus is getting so much. Let's not be so afraid that the enemy might do something that we don't allow the Holy Spirit to do anything. You know. And you guys know me well enough to know we got guardrails. If it's not in the Word, I'm going to have a little issue with it. To understand more, but the Word needs to back it up. Because that's my guardrails, that's your guardrails. That's what protects us, that's what keeps us in a place where we can securely be led by the Holy Spirit and not become deceived. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want to take a few moments. I can't share my whole testimony. But I want to share a little bit with you because this spring is 40 years ago that I said yes to God's call on my life into the ministry. Seen a thing or two, done a thing or two. But 15 years in, I had come to a place outwardly. A lot of success. I was pastoring a church. We had gotten a commendation from Billy Graham School of Evangelism. We were in the top 5% of churches in the U.S. as far as growth concerning by ratio and membership, those kind of things. And the church was growing. I had finished my education. I had my degrees. Had a good salary. The church provided a large red brick house that we just loved. Even had a country club membership given to me. What I'm saying is some people, if you were to take a piece of paper and have your boxes to check about kind of things you want to reach that place. Well, my boxes were pretty much checked. And I can say before you and the Lord this morning, I love Jesus. And I knew if I died, I'd go to heaven. I had assurance of my salvation. And I believed God's word. And I want to say to you that in part it was my love for the word of God that began to deal with me. Particularly the book of Acts. That's one reason I'm preaching through the book of Acts, teaching. Well, I guess folks that go say I'm preaching. Teaching through the book of Acts on Thursday in our community Bible study. That book gnawed on me. Because I would read what the early church looked like. And I'd read these fascinating stories of how people had a vision and God would just show them something they needed to do. A man saying, come over here to Macedonia, when Paul was forbidden by the Spirit to go this way and go that way. He had a dream. And it's like Jesus literally directed his steps. I mean, like actually told him what to do. And things would happen like they would lay hands on people who were sick and they would be made well and whole and miraculous things. And I've always believed in miracles. But my training had taken the edge off of just really believing one could happen for me. Or believing I'd see one happen where I pastored. All for it. I would have said I'm not against it. But yet, I wasn't seeing it. And I wasn't experiencing it. And I'd read the book of Acts and I'd realize there's more in the book of Acts than there's in me. The early church has something that I don't have. The early church has something that I'm not seeing happening where I'm pastoring. Folks are getting saved, and that's the greatest miracle of all. Still is. And I thank God for that. I mean, that's the most important thing you could ever do in this life, is to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. And that's when the good news starts. But that's not all He has for us. And so I was really being convicted about this. And I got to the place where I'm looking at the Word and I'm evaluating my life. I'm looking at the Word and then I'm reading commentaries. And then I look at the Word. And I remember that sermon I heard by that preacher. And I'd look at the Word and the Holy Spirit was gripping me tighter and tighter and tighter. And one day in desperation, I became a desperate man. It's just like, Lord, if there's not more than this, then I might as well quit. If I can't read it out of the book and say, this is for us. If this is you, then I want to see this in my life. I didn't know a group of people had already been getting together praying for me. Some of those Baptists flying under the radar. I had one of them come on my third day on the job. Job, you know, in the sense that I was new there. Third day, and told me, the Lord told me, Brother Eddie, He's going to give you a gift of healing. I may tell you the fullness of how all that came about next Sunday. But I just pretty much mocked her. I said, well, I appreciate that, but I'm sure if He wants me to know, He'll tell me. My pride and my arrogance, you know, how dare she say something like that to me? I had another lady regularly come up to me. And she'd just flat out say it. I'm praying for you to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Right there in the middle of the Baptist church I was pastoring. I appreciate your prayers. Anything you know, want to pray for, I appreciate that. But you know what? They were really praying for me. And even though we were blessed, in a sense, church was taking care of us, we got caught between not having some insurance with, Mickey was pregnant, and we actually lost a child through miscarriage, went through all of that, but we had some pretty large hospital bills, and we were concerned about that. And I ran across, this is, some of you young people, you won't know what I'm talking about, but this was in the early days of the internet. I still had dial-up, where you could you turn it on and and finally you connect, and you would wait and wait for a page to load. You'd wait and wait. Well, I click on that and I'm gonna get me a cup of coffee and come back. Ah, just got loaded. It was that way, and I found this website of this place I'd heard about, Paul Youngie Cho. In South Korea, and Prayer Mountain. I didn't really know about his Pentecostal background or anything, but I found out you could submit a prayer request, this place where thousands of people met and prayed around the clock. And I thought, well, I wrote them. I sat there and I'm going to have them pray for us. We need a breakthrough. I wrote, you know, we need a financial breakthrough because of insurance, you know, medical bills that our insurance won't cover. And I'm pastoring a Baptist church in Alabama. And so I asked that you pray for me and my family. And you know what? I believe they did. But I think when they saw that I was a Baptist pastor, they started praying. God just began to deal with me. I started getting under conviction. And then I started getting these phone calls. And I don't have time to tell you the whole Bucky Baker story, but there was a man started calling me and said, I heard you went off to seminary school and you got a doctor degree. Is that right? And I said, well, yeah. I said, why? He said, well, I'm hearing this word, and somebody said it sounds like some kind of Bible word or something, and I thought I'd ask you what it was. And he'd tell me the word, and I said, oh, yeah, that's the Hebrew word for this. And he'd call me and tell me, and it would be a Greek word. And I said, yeah, that's the Greek word. It means this. But what he was telling me was I was praying in tongues, and this word kept coming to me. And then I'd tell him what it meant. He'd say, oh, well, now that makes sense. Now I know what the Lord's trying to say to me. And that messed with me. And I was kind to him, and I was nice, and I'd hang up, and I'd tell Mickey, that guy's like, you know, I'm not sure that all his spoons are in the drawer, you know. It's just, but that kept happening. Well, one day I'm in my office in the middle of this when I'm just, Lord, if there's not more, I'm really, nobody would have known it outwardly, but inside, God's dealing with me because I'm being confronted by God's word. You know, why am I not experiencing this in my life? The secretary buzzed back and said, Dr. Lawrence said, there's a man out here to meet you. His name's Bucky Baker. Now, some of you have met him. He's actually come to our services at Old Grace House, and I got to introduce him to our congregation. So it's the first time I've met him. And so I go out and open the door, and I'm thinking, I want to meet this guy because this is you know, interesting. Open the door. He's got long, straggly hair. I'm telling it like it is, and Bucky knows it's the truth. He had long, straggly hair. He could have used a shower. He had grease under his fingernails, had a pack of Winston's in his shirt pocket. He could have used a little dental work. I'm not judging. I was kind to him. My mama taught me that. But he came in, and I closed the door. And I had a part of my office where I'd meet people. In the back part was what they called the Holy of Holies. So I thought I better take him as far away from the action that I can. So I didn't know I was leading them into the action, okay? So we go back and I close two doors behind me, and I'm sitting in my computer chair, and I wheel around to him and I said, well, Bucky, it's a joy to meet you, and what can I do for you? He said, well, I'm coming here today. I need you to pray for me. And he started telling me some things that was going on in his life, and then it happened. While he was bearing his soul to me, I heard God talk. And when it was happening, it was so clear and so strong, I didn't even register that I needed to stop and think about, my goodness, God just said something to me. It was just the Holy Spirit's doing. And I waved my hand. Bucky, I need to say something. He stopped and I said, I need to ask you to do something. He said, what? I said, the Lord just told me to have you pray for me. His eyes got big. He looked around. I'm telling you what happened. He looked around. He saw my degrees on the wall. And he looked around three walls full of books. Looked at me sitting there in my white shirt and my tie that I wore to the office every day. And I can still see his Adam's apple go up and down. He said, you want me to pray for you? I said, yeah, Bucky, I heard the Lord just say that. Okay, he said. He got up, and I wheeled my, I'm still in my computer chair, I wheeled it out, and I'm sitting there, and that dear man, He came over and he went down on his knees in front of me. And he took me by the hands and he gripped my hands. And he bowed his head. And this is pretty close to what he prayed. I'll never forget it. He said, "Dear God, please baptize this man with the Holy Ghost. Help him to speak in tongues. Help him to lay hands on the sick. Help him to cast out devils in Jesus' name." He looked up, got up, and went back and sat down. I looked at him and I said, "Thank you for that." Now, he was being obedient to the scripture because Jesus said, when you pray, don't do it for your much speaking. His prayer wasn't long. It may not have had a long fuse on it, but I'm telling you, that firecracker was packed. I sat there. I now am in between the horns of two dilemmas. I got a problem because everything in me told me that was God who spoke to me. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, if you wanted me to have him pray for me, then you knew what he's going to pray. And since you knew what he was going to pray and you had him pray for me, why would you want him to pray that for me? I looked at him, I said, "Brother, I'm sorry to cut this short, but I'm going to have to let you go." And I was kind to him, and I let him out, and I thought, well, I'm going to take him out a different way. I didn't take him back to the office. And I took him out another door. I said, "Well, good to see you." Closed the door, and I stood there in the dark in that room thinking, what am I going to do? I need some fresh air. I gave him enough time to clear the building, and then I went out, and the secretary couldn't say, I went out the front doors of the office, administrative wing of that church. I'm thinking, I need to get out here, get some fresh air. I got to process this. I got to weigh this out. And I opened those doors, and there was one of our deacons, Brother Hugh. You'd have to know him. He's now with Jesus. That man, first time I ever saw him, and every time I ever saw him, it's like he had swallowed a light bulb. Have you met somebody like that? They're just the glow of the Lord was on him. I mean, he was always encouraging. I mean, when we first moved there, like, I'd been there a week or two. 7 o'clock one morning, I think the doorbell rang, actually, and I go there, the back of our house, the back door. He said, "Hey, Pastor Eddie," he said, "go get your shirts. You white shirts, you dress shirts." I said, "What?" He said, "I want to take them to the cleaners for you. Go get your shirts." And I said, "Well, if you'd give me just a moment," I said, "would you wait right here?" And I went back to me, and I said, "There's one of our deacons, and he's wanting all my shirts, any of my shirts that need." So I took him several of them. He took him. He said, that's all he said. Didn't take much time. He said, "Thank you." Like 3 days later, ding, went. There he was. He said, "Here's your shirts. I had them cleaned and starched for you, and I got you a couple of new ones to put in there with them." And he just did stuff like that all the time. He's just such a giver. Well, I opened the doors to go out of the church that day, and there he was. And I loved him. I knew that man loved me. I trusted him. And he said, "Hey, Pastor," he said, "is everything all right?" I'm sure I still had that deer in the headlights look. And I kid you not, I looked to the right and I looked to the left to make sure nobody could hear me. Made sure the door was closed behind me. I said, "Brother Hugh," I said, "I think the Lord might be trying to tell me there's more." He looked at me, thought a minute. Now, I know now what was happening. He was weighing this out. You know, was he going to risk getting in trouble? But he finally said, well, Pastor, if there's more and it's God, I bet it'd be good. He got him a word of wisdom right on the spot. And you know what? When that man said that, it was like all that weight that was on me just rolled off. It's like, that what that man said was true. If there's more and it's God, it would be good, and why wouldn't I want it? Now, I don't have time to go into all the details of the rest of that story, but the next day at the football field, another preacher that was known to be outside the bounds of propriety, so to speak, he came up to me and started prophesying over me. I didn't even really realize what he was doing, but now I do. Telling me, God's about to do some stuff in your life. You better get ready. And he went on from there. I said, well, I appreciate that, Brother Jerry. Yeah. Then the third witness would come on a Thursday. Another brother would come. He came into my office, and I trusted him. I sat down, and he would teach the scriptures from time to time, different places, and we sat on my couch in my office, and I asked him question after question about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and how does this tongues things work? Is it for everybody, or can you receive it? And he just was very patient for me. We turned to scriptures that I had taught out of, I had exegeted, I expounded out of them, and we took me right back, and I started seeing things I'd never seen in them before. You know why? My heart was open, and I started receiving. Met with him about an hour. He left my office. I got in my car, and I went home. I just walked straight down the hallway and found a place that wasn't busy. It happened to be one of my kids' bedroom. I went in there, and I closed the door behind me, and I got down on my knees, and I said, Lord, I am now convinced by your word that there is a fullness of the Holy Spirit, and that it's very often accompanied by speaking in other tongues. Lord, I want everything you have for me. You know, no matter what it costs me, Lord, I want it. And I prayed. I opened my eyes, and I began speaking in tongues, just praying in tongues. It was just flowing like turning a faucet on. In the first sentence or two, I'm thinking, am I just doing this? But my spirit, no, it was like it was coming up. So I decided, this is the Lord. And so it became easier. It became easier, and it just flowed. It just flowed. There's more to that story. I won't tell it now, because I want to get to the last aspect of the story I do want to share today. And then we'll see what God wants to do in this room. Had a dear brother that had become a friend of mine in the city, and primarily through Promise Keepers that did a mighty work in men's lives. And I don't have all the time for that either. But I remember asking him to go to Birmingham to the hospital with me one day. And I started asking him question after question. He pastored a charismatic church in the city. Brother David, would you stand up? I love you, brother. I love you, brother.
Story morning.
I can't preach anymore. Not today.
Let's just worship God.
Let's worship. We need you, Jesus.
Raise your hands and receive. Just receive. Amen. You to come quickly, because you will not leave like you came. If you respond in your heart, I want to be filled. I want a renewal of what's happened to me. I want a refilling. I'm committing my life again. Come on now. Come on now. All over the building. I want you to come. Come on now. The Lord is calling us. This is a divine moment. This is a divine moment that God has ordained. Come on now. Come on now. It's all over the building, wherever you are. Just slip out and come. Come on now. Slip out and come quickly, quickly, quickly. I want you to come down here to get baptized in the Holy Spirit or renewed a fresh anointing in the name of Jesus. Some of the older people just begin to pray. And let's pray. Come on, Bill, help them get on down here, brother. Some of you can come over this way. Just come on now. Even in the back, come out and come on and come, please. Come on now. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord God.